Hello, everyone, and welcome to One Control Board Podcast, episode 331. I'm Benjamin Yoder here today to talk to you about video games. We're going to have a short episode this week. Short episode because I had kind of a weirdly rough week this week. I don't really know how to describe it. I was productive, but ultimately, there are a lot of things that I just feel like in the end did not really result in a lot of things. So we're gonna have a little news segment here at the end. It's gonna be pretty short, and then we're just gonna talk a little bit about, you know, some stuff that happened this week, and I think we'll just wrap it up and send it out early this week. Hopefully, we'll see. We'll see if that actually happens. I think, you know, one thing that I was really trying to do this week was try to really figure out, you know, if I do that Final Fantasy XI video, you know, what direction would that be going, and what that implementation would look like. Because it is like a long-term video series, I did just want to kind of see if it like even made sense in the first place to do. So I ended up like drafting together like a short 5 or 10 minute segment that basically tried to define exactly what I wanted it to do. It's pretty rough, and it wasn't really intended to be like a finished quality. However, when I finished it, there's definitely a lot of things in there that I'm just like, I kind of wish I cleaned this up, but that wasn't really the point of it, right? That's kind of the hard thing for me, is I think most of the time my first drafts are generally pretty polished for the most part, like when I finish a video. But in this case, it's very unpolished, in my opinion, from pretty much every angle. So, like, even though I spent a lot of time working on it and getting it working, and it actually probably accomplished the goals I was hoping for it to accomplish, I was a little down just because, like, I was like, oh, the quality of this is, but anyways, so I did that. I also played a little bit more Final Fantasy XI, just to dump some time into that again. That was kind of mostly it in terms of just like stuff to really talk about here on the podcast in terms of my personal updates and things like that. One thing I did do that you may have seen is that I did on the OCP Plus YouTube channel go ahead and do a stream, and on Twitch actually, do a stream that basically was like my news finding process. So like, if you're curious about like, hey, you know, where does Ben pull all this news from? Well, it's really only like 5 or 6 sites, and I pull it up on a Feedly, and I just go on like a rampage of the last week and just pull up every single thing that looks like remotely interesting, and then parse through it and try to figure that out. So I decided to stream that because I had a little bit of extra time this weekend, and was trying to take a break from the whole like Final Fantasy XI stuff as well, just because I felt like I was just too deep in that, but still wanted to kind of do something. So I went ahead and uploaded that, or streamed that, and that is over on the OCP Plus on the Archive for Live now. And while we do touch on the news stories that we're going to talk a little bit about today, really, I think the purpose of that video in the long term is that like there's like 250 news items we go through, and a lot of those news items are things that do not end up on the podcast. So I thought it would be kind of interesting if you guys saw like exactly what I tend to throw away, how much time I give each game, because a lot of times I do not give time to a lot of games. It is like, I will give you 5 seconds, and if I cannot figure out what's going on, I'm not going to really do a lot of research if you didn't catch my attention a lot of times. And I think that's a lot of times it's like, can seem a little, overly dismissive, but again, I have a lot of stories that I open up at the end of the week, essentially, so I kind of have to pick and choose what makes the most sense and things like that. So if you're curious about that, you can go watch that stream. It's like 2.5 hours long, I think, over there for that. I don't really plan to have like a consistent stream schedule, but I do have an idea for another stream that I would like to do. I think I'd probably go ahead and move forward with that and trying that out. I have not really heard a lot of feedback from people on the news streaming thing. I mean, the video has a few likes and things like that, but didn't really hear a lot of back on like what, if people were interested in it, if they want to see like me do that more. And I think the reality is that if I were to do something like that, it probably would mean I would like cut the podcast in half. So it's like every other week I do a podcast, and then every other week I do a stream where I go through news stories or something like that. But anyways, I'd be happy to hear your thoughts if you want to talk about that with me. That would be nice. Otherwise, though, I think it's probably a one-off, and I probably won't do it again. So, but any feedback is always super appreciated. Otherwise, I'm just operating my own little bubble, you know, just trying to figure out what works and what doesn't work and things like that. So, but yeah, that's pretty much all the updates I have for myself. We're going to go into Jillian's corner here real quick. Jillian asked us a question. Why because you donate to us on Ko-fi. Thank you again, Jillian, for your question. We are running low on questions, and Jillian totally reasonably communicated with me that she's like, I don't really know what to ask you anymore. And I'm like, absolutely. You asked me, like, at this point, how many questions has it been? It has been a lot of questions. So we may be at the end of our questions here. Now, if you longtime listeners will know, we do have a back catalog of other questions. I went to a website forever ago, it feels like at this point, called, I think it's called Level Skip or something like that. And they had questions that were like the best way to start a conversation with a gamer. And I still have a lot of those questions. Like, part of me is like, maybe we keep doing those. Obviously, if you want to provide your own questions, if you donate, I will be happy to answer any questions if you want to send me a message. Vink donated to us this month as well. So again, thank you, Vink, for your donation and all that stuff. And yeah, so we'll see. But Jillian, ask the question, what video game graphics belong in a museum? An art museum, but I wanted to say in a museum. you know, I'm somebody who, I think most video games have some visual, like, I assume we're, yeah, video game graphics, right? Yeah, video game graphics. I assume we're talking about visuals then in that case. And, like, so I feel like a lot of video games, I appreciate them in different ways. You know, I've talked a bit before about how, like, with Shadow of the Colossus, I kind of, in some ways, appreciate the slower frame rate of the PlayStation 2 version, because I think aesthetically it does a lot for that game. And maybe kind of creating the otherworldliness of it and stuff like that, even though it's just clear, like, it's just the PS2 not being able to keep up with it. but I think a lot of games visually are very impressive, and you know, I can't think of too many that I would say, I don't know, like a lot of like shovelware games on the Wii, maybe a little more straightforward stuff. But anyways, let's talk about games that are actually like important or that would show up in a museum. I think, you know, it maybe not terrible to say like the Wind Waker. That's such a boring answer, but I think the Wind Waker looks really good still. I would love to see more like little Wind Waker figures and things like that. I think it's a really fun art style. But kind of sticking within that GameCube range, Killer 7 is a game I really like the aesthetic of. If you don't know, Killer 7 is a grasshopper game, so No More Heroes people. And interestingly enough, I think it's like a PS2 game that uses a similar engine, so it has a similar look, or the same engine, so a similar look. It's called like Blood Plus or something like that. It's like an anime licensed game that Grasshopper also worked on. But I always loved the aesthetic of Killer 7 and like how all the rooms and stuff are flat shaded, and sometimes, you know, the lines in a room are not necessarily defined, and something that they could do because the game's mostly on rails, so you don't have to, as a player, don't have to worry about like, you know, how big is this room, because you just follow the path of where it takes you. It's still a great looking game though, and I really don't know if I've ever had another game strike me so much visually. Admittedly, it's been a very long time since I played that game. That was like a 2005 video game, right? Or something like that, or around that time. And I definitely, you know, got it pretty soon after release. Maybe shouldn't have. I was pretty young. It's a game with a lot of adult topics, but I still think Killer 7 is probably one of the most aesthetically impressive games to me in a lot of ways, in that regard. A lot of times, though, I do feel like a lot of, like, cel-shaded stuff, while it was, like, really impactful back in the day, I feel like nowadays we've seen so much of that stuff, it doesn't really stand out in the way that Killer 7 still stands out today, in my opinion. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if, like a bunch of indie games take a similar approach to Killer 7 visually and things like that. But I feel like a lot of games still haven't really, like, touched up on that at some point. But that'd be the game, hang that copy of Killer 7 on the wall in your museum. It's museum owners. Killer 7, www.killer7.com. Download the 250 by 250 JPEG of that box art. Print it out on a full sheet of paper and hang it up on your museum. I'm curious if the Japanese box art for Killer 7 is any different now that I think about it. Or maybe it's only, I don't know. The U.S. box art's pretty boring, if I remember correctly. I don't know. It's like red, and I think maybe you can see all the characters in like these different lines and stuff like that. Maybe it's fine. I haven't looked at that box art in a long time. That's what it reminds me of. But I'm curious if the Japanese box art's different. That is very much the era of just like, oh, Japanese box arts typically were just better overall. So, but Killer 7's such a stylish game, I wouldn't be surprised if they try to keep it consistent between all regions. So, again, thank you so much, Jillian, for your support. Thank you again, Vink, as well, for your support, too. If you want to ask me a question, feel free to donate to me on Patreon, and then send me a message with your question. I'd be happy to answer it. And, yeah, we'll leave Jillian's corner at that. Jillian, I mean, we still have more questions from Jillian. So I think we will still have the good chunk of this year will be Jillian-filled. Jillian-filled donut of a question. It's like a Q. It's a Q-shaped donut, and then it's just full of paper. Just like printer paper with questions on the inside. Very appetizing. Anyways. Just like I mentioned earlier, a handful of small news stories here. Just to get the big one out of the way, I think everybody's talking about this, and I don't really know how much I really have to say about this. 3DS and Wii U, servers are going to be going offline. That includes multiplayer servers and things like that. If you're like, Ben, I thought this already happened. The ability to get new games off the 3DS eShop and Wii U eShop is gone. I don't know if you can still download old games. I feel like the Nintendo Wii shop is like still weirdly available for that as well. But yeah, I don't know if they said anything about that, but anyways, online services though for 3DS and Wii U will be ending. So that means all multiplayer stuff as well, as far as I can tell. So, you know, if you want to do your squad stuff in Xenoblade Chronicles X, where you have to collect items with your squad so you can unlock higher level multiplayer missions that nobody ever plays, then there you go, baby. Get in now, because I think it's like March 2024 or something like that. They're shutting it down. So if you don't know, the Wii and DS have really, I would say so far in my experience, really good fan servers. I'm sure not every experience is correct, honestly, but you know, everything I've played that's been like more of the mainstream stuff at the very least has been very good and satisfying. I think most people use it as a way to play Mario Kart Wii. If you don't know, there's a huge scene around Mario Kart Wii still. I don't remember how many players are playing per day, but I believe it is thousands of players still log into Mario Kart Wii thanks to the, I think it's called like WeFMe server or something like that. So I'm assuming people have been doing the work for a while for 3DS and Wii U, trying to get that going. I think the one thing that I thought was kind of interesting is that like 360 and PS3 are still around. And 3DS and Wii U obviously came quite a bit later. And I really think that Nintendo not focusing online and being like given the ability to basically say, we're going to shut down Wii and DSiWare stuff early, probably makes them feel a little bit more okay about shutting this stuff down in an earlier fashion. I really think 360 and PS3, you know, being super online focused systems, when they made those, I don't think they ever really thought about what happens. Like, I'm sure they thought about these servers will go offline someday, but I don't think they ever thought about like, how long is this support going to go? How do we roll these shutdowns down and things like that, right? And so I think it's been this interesting situation where 360 and PS3 have stuck around longer, probably due to the fact that they developed an environment where like service shutdowns and things like that was not like super common things that were having to happen on a large scale, you know, with products that people were regularly using. But, you know, as time goes on, less and less people are using those products, therefore shutting it down. I believe the 360 stuff for the buying games is going away. I think the online play is still good there, though. I think PS3, you can still buy stuff as well. So, anyways, speaking of games shutting down, Magikami. We talked about this game a long time ago, Magikami. I believe we talked about it because in the context of, and I'm still always fascinated by this segment of games, is the 18 plus DMM games that are gacha games and things like that, but are horny gacha games. And like, to me, as an outsider, I don't know, it kind of like is that similar feeling of like people who buy like horny visual novels and stuff. And I sit there and like, how do you determine the time to be like horny, and how do you determine the time to just like enjoy it? Because like 99.9% of this thing is a story, right? So like, I don't understand. Anyways, that stuff aside, I feel like the same thing with gacha games. I'm just like, how, I don't know, especially like in public. Although I feel like DMM games is typically like PC browser based and things like that. All that aside, let's throw that out the window. I think this space is interesting just because I don't know much about it. But Magikami's game we talked about a long time ago because I thought it actually looked really good. It's like a magical girl kind of game, and it's got a very colorful aesthetic with kind of like these deep, dark purples and things like that. So it's like kind of like has a dark like aesthetic to the game itself, but then the girls themselves like pop out a lot with their things. And I was actually, if you go look at the stream where I was going through all the news stories, there's actually a game called MGCM Combat Edition, which is a fighting game doujin fighting game based off this, which has like some really blown out sound that is very intentionally blown out, which is pretty funny. There will be a link in the description if you want to check that out. But in addition to this, I was talking to my friend about this, and he sent me over a link that is for the main Majikami game. Apparently, Majikami shutting down October 31st. And instead of just saying, rip, here's a we're going to update the app to be offline, but it's just going to be like a wiki. They are saying, hey, guys, people who support us, if you crowdfund us, we'll create an offline version of this app. I think I did not look through it entirely. I think that keeps the gameplay intact. I don't know how for sure. I think as of reading, it's like very close to being fulfilled, like at 99%, but not actually fully backed yet. But it seems very likely there's like 48 days left. They basically have raised their total, which is about, I think, $30,000 or something like that. I will say it seems like a lot of whales are contributing for sure. Like, I believe there's like the number one slot, which is like $7,000 somebody contributed. Another slot that's like $3,300. There's a slot with five slots. So like there's basically stretch goals and things like that, right? So you can buy limited space stretch goals. So the top stretch goal is like, or top tier reward tier is the better term, not stretch goal. The top reward tier like has one slot. So you are the one special person who gets that if you give $7,000 apparently. but then they have a tier that is about $2,000 that had five slots. And then there was people at around like $600, $700. There's about 50 people in that space. There's more than that as well. Seven people at like $2,700 that they're donating. That wasn't completely filled up yet. And I'm sure there's more since I pulled those numbers. But you know, it's not a large number of people. I think the total like contribution is about 1,500 supporters. So, you know, generally, you know, I think these big ticket item people are really helping fund that. It is one of those things where, like, you know, you kind of look at it and you think the idea is cool to some extent, right? Or at least I do. And I'm like, oh, that's a neat way to say if you're not going to support this game here, you know, here's an option for you guys to figure out, you know, if you want to continue keeping the thing alive offline. Obviously, you know, that doesn't mean that with like, you know, OS updates and things like that, it won't break it. But at the very least, the option's there, right? And I feel like we've seen more and more of that kind of stuff with Rockman X Dive. But Rockman X Dive is doing it kind of on the back end where they're like, pay us money to get access to this. They're selling you a product. In this case, they're selling you a promise. I assume that the work to get this working would be semi-clear from the start, so they probably are realistic in what they're asking for, and I would expect it would not necessarily, you know, cause too many troubles and risk a situation where you don't end up with an offline version. But who can say? I'm not vouching for any of the people who worked on Majikami, but hopefully it works out for them. I mean, they've got the money at this point, so at this point, yeah, as long as it works out, right? So, still cool, but like I don't know if there's any like weird ethics behind that of just like, should your fan base pay for you to release a product for them ahead of time? But hey, that's Kickstarter, right? That is the focus of Kickstarter. But man, that was a lot of whales that gave money for that. Two smaller news stories. One's actually just a game that I saw that kind of caught my attention. Let's talk about the game, actually. It's called Starry. This is a iToy-like rhythm game with a really cute aesthetic. It reminds me a lot of the aesthetic in Magical Carnival, actually, that Active Life game on the Wii. Starry definitely looks better and a little bit more vague, but like the characters have like kind of this wispy kind of ghost look to them with like this solid shading and these big eyes and things like that. They're very cute. But yeah, uses a webcam like an iToy. If you don't know, iToy is a PlayStation 2 accessory that was a webcam that would track your movement. And so you play this rhythm game by swiping your hands around in the air and stuff like that, kind of similar to Beat Saber or something like that. And you do that. And there seems to be different types of game modes and stuff. So it seems like we know how exactly you interact with the world in those different rhythm games. Depending on what mode you're in, or at least, you know, what part of the song you're in. I don't know if it switches between different modes mid-song or something like that. I was kind of surprised. It had like 150 licensed songs, and this seems like a fairly small-scale game. So I'm kind of curious, like, if you are an independent rhythm game, like, what does that look like trying to license those songs, right? I'd imagine there's probably some kind of service you go through, but, you know, I imagine you'd have to kind of, like, figure out a deal with them, like, how much are you going to pay up front? Are you going to pay up front? Are they going to get a cut of your profit? Things like that. I'd be kind of curious how that works on the back end. But either way, Starry, Starri, looks pretty cute and cool. And the last news story here, which there's not a ton to say about, but I do have some thoughts on it, is a new Buddy Mission Bond stage play. So exciting. If you don't know, Buddy Mission Bond is a video or a Nintendo Switch game I did or I played a few years back now, right? 2 years back? I think 2022 is when I finished it. I think 2021 is when I bought it. That sounds right. Anyways, but this is a Japanese-only Switch game. Very cool, very like Ace Attorney-ish and things like that. I really love it. I made a video about it. It is a 25-minute long video, although I think about like 17 minutes of that really focus on the game itself. The back half is more of like, hey, I don't know Japanese. How did I end up playing Buddy Mission Bond? But it's still, I think, a very solid video from my memory at the very least. And I seem to recall that getting one of the more larger number of compliments from people. So maybe holds up pretty well. It's not that old either, so. 5 years from now, the 5 year mark tends to be the thing where I look back and go like, oh boy, I sure made a video. But yeah, so this is a new Buddy Mission Bond stage play. There's been two previously. I have one on Blu-ray, and then there's recently another one released that was on Blu-ray. These are stage shows that happen, so they do the stage show first and then they release the Blu-ray afterwards. And in kind of a nice change of heart here, or maybe a change of heart, I don't know if that's the right word. The second Blu-ray's main stage show, I think there's also like a concert in there that I don't think they include in this, but they put it up on YouTube. And because YouTube tries to auto-generate the subtitles, I don't know for sure, maybe they actually upload the subtitles, but because there is at least some text associated with it, you can use machine translation if you want. I've not tried that. Somebody I know did do that and they seemed pretty happy with it. So looking forward to checking that out. I think it is available a limited time, so I need to do that sooner rather than later. On that. So, but then they also announced a third stage play, and that third stage play has kind of an interesting look to it because it's like everyone's like bellboys, so like, you know, working at a hotel and things like that. I didn't see like a lot of premise described around like the website and things like that that I clicked around. Also, they tend to launch new lines of merch along with these, and the merch has not been announced yet, but there's a section on the website for merch, so I think they will do it. But I think the nice kind of thing about seeing this happen is that it has been a while since Buddy Mission Bond came out. And a lot of the narrative around Buddy Mission Bond, especially from a Western point of view, is that this game bombed in Japan and did not sell. But when you look at Ruby Party sales in Japan, Buddy Mission Bond, well, a lesser performer than some of their other games, generally falls within the range of the types of sales they do. And my suspicion has always been they do, I mean, these are physical only sales, I should say, but that they only, they do a limited number of physical sales, and then every bit of profit after that comes from merchandising, because they release tons and tons and tons and tons of very expensive merchandise around their characters, and I'm going to guess that's where a lot of the money comes from, and it seems like Buddy Mission Bond so far appears to be successful, because I think we're on our like third or fourth wave of really big merchandise for it, and this will be probably the next new big wave of merch, so excited to see what happens with that. I need to figure out like if they uploaded that concert stuff, because if they didn't upload the concert stuff, I still have an interest in picking up the second Blu-ray, because I believe there's a concert included with that one. If they did not, though, maybe I will just settle for the YouTube video and maybe acquire it in a way that I would do. So I don't have to buy it later, because those Blu-rays are not cheap. It's like $100. So they're expensive Blu-rays, which was part of why I'm so surprised they uploaded the second one. So, but yeah, I think it's like November or something like that. Sorry, I just hit a light in my room. Hopefully you didn't hear that. I think it's like November for the new stage play. Let me see if I can find that out real quick here. Cast live. Tickets are very expensive as well, like $100 for the tickets. Do they want to give me a date on this? Here we go. October. Oh, no. Wait. Let me... Application period started October 6th. Okay. Actual... I think because this is a location, so I think they're doing a lottery. I think they tell you if you win the lottery by the 18th, and then I think you have to pay them by October 22nd. And then I believe the show itself is... I don't know. sometime after that, it looks like they are trying to sell goods starting November 11th. So I'm going to guess sometime after November 11th. There could be information on this website about when this is occurring. 11/26, November 26th. There you go. So November 26th. That, how close is that to Thanksgiving? Are we having a bunny mission Thanksgiving? Not quite. I forget which Thanksgiving, which isn't like a Thursday or something like that. I don't know. I don't know how Thanksgiving works. Don't ask me questions. OneControlBar.com is the website. You can ask me questions if you donate to me and Ko-fi, but don't ask me questions otherwise. like I said, that stream is up. So if you want to go check that stream out, you can do that. I am still potentially working on that Final Fantasy XI thing, but I think I'm going to take a break from it. I went pretty hard on it, and I think I just need to kind of, like, it's a project that I think needs to be a little more spaced out generally, but I wanted to make sure that, like, the way I was going to be a good-ish direction, so I think that's why I did it, kind of right away, but I think long-term it's going to be a lot longer, which is unfortunate that it'll take longer for me to actually get it out there, just because the, fan servers I'm playing on will, you know, continue to update and things like that, but at the end of the day, I don't think a lot of that matters, so I think, in reality, personally, my feeling is probably getting up to like level 30 is like solid. I feel like a lot of the later game Final Fantasy XI stuff back then is pretty well represented online, but like getting to level 30 I think is like really where I want to talk about, and doing kind of the main tasks in that process. So yeah, that's gonna be it, I guess, though. I have nothing else to say. I'm gonna leave you. Love you, baby. Talk to you later. Talk to you next week. And yeah, I'll let you guys know in the Discord if I will be streaming again. I think I'll probably maybe do like streams. I mean, I'm not going to consistently commit to this, but I think it will always be at least on the opposite week of a movie night. I think that will always be true, just because of my social energy and things like that. I think that will be the only way it really makes sense, but I'm not saying every other week there will be a stream. I'm just saying that will be when it happens, if it happens. So anyways, I will head out, but you guys have a good week. Bye.